Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Talk a little bit about the NFL. Also want to talk about college football. Senior writer for the Sporting News, especially when it comes to covering the Pigskin or any other things. He's covered a ton of stuff. He is the pride of Pickerington, probably the most famous guy from Pickerington right now on our radio station in Central Ohio, considering half of the team went to Pickerington from Ohio State. He is Bill Bender, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Should say OU Bobcat as well, too. How are you, Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Hey, you guys want to hear a good Jack Sawyer story?
Give yes. it to me.
So I've been telling this one all week. When he was like a junior at Pickerington North, at a five-star, mm-hmm. I called him for a story, and I said, hey, you know, my son, who was much younger then, just wants to say hi. And I stepped in the other room, and then I come back like a couple minutes later, and Jack was still talking to my son Grant about like coverages and quarterback and all these things. He is truly like, there are some that have a persona and you kind of know, it might be fake. Jack is as real as it gets. And of all the guys on that team, given the playoff run that he had, I think I can say it. And I don't care if it's not objective. I was super happy for him on Monday night.
Yeah, it was just the scoop and score, too. Just you go back and you think about what, especially after what happened in the Michigan game, right? I mean, that made it even more. It's why kids want to wear 33, right? If you're a kid around Ohio right now, that's the jersey I would want my kid. In fact, my kid does wear 33, so kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously there were five kids from Pickerington on the team, the Stiles brothers, and right. I was on the plane home with the Stiles family and Lorenzo, as you can remember, he still looks like he could fill an inside zone and hit somebody. He was a really good linebacker in his day, but they were so happy, and a lot of OHs on the plane. As busy as the airport was, I will say this, and I think you guys probably already talked about it. I think in the crowd, it was probably about 65-35 Ohio State fans.
Right.
And, around Atlanta, it did feel like there was more Notre Dame fans around Atlanta. Maybe it was just the hotel I was staying in.
Did or didn't feel like there were more Notre Dame fans?
Did. Thought there were going to be more because I was just like walking around the lobby. I was like, man, that's a lot of green. So maybe they just had a better rate at that hotel.
Hey, Bill, I had this conversation the other day. Maybe that could be. I think we look back and we value that percentage that you just talked about. Like I was saying this the other day, in 2002 in Arizona, it was 98% Ohio State, right? And then in 2014, I'm just trying to think, Oregon had a good crowd. It was maybe 35-40%. And that I don't know, why are we so infatuated with that? And I am, Bill. It's not like I'm not, but I always want to hear what the bowl looks like when you're at a neutral site game.
And I always just peek down and look, you know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, wow, this is what it does. Now, it's so wild to me, and this is a sign of what we're doing now, that first playoff game against Tennessee when
yes.
the Vols brought up about 30% of the stadium in Ohio Stadium.
Which you never
see.
Very
real.
Yes.
Which was, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it was such a cool playoff run for the Buckeyes, this four-game rampage. I've been asked a lot of, like, overarching, what does it mean? You know what I think it means? It sets a standard for this new era. I feel like we group BCS title games together, or title champions together, and we group these 14 champions together. And now the Buckeyes have set a standard for everybody else in this 12-team era, how to get through it. You know, they beat six of the top eight teams in the CFP rankings this year. That's a pretty good run.
That's a real good run. If you're Ryan Day, what are you feeling about yourself? What are you feeling about your program right now? What are you feeling about your future, Bill?
Well, I was joking with a couple writers. I said, do you think he should be given a portion of his post-game speech to say, you know, here's who I want to tell off, you know, the haters. And
that's a weird one,
right?
Yeah,
but he didn't. And I thought he was, you know, very thankful. And I, you know, you saw his sideline when he threw the headset. I would have thrown that farther if I was him. And just the pressure that went off of him. And I think, you know, it really, the line I've used for the last 7 weeks is, and the worst thing in the world that happened, and they got to play more. And they took advantage of that opportunity. And I think as we get into Ryan Day legacy talk 10 years from now, I would have guessed that he'll be, you know, they'll beat Michigan some. And let's say he's like 6-9 against Michigan when it's all over, or 7-10 or something. But he has multiple national titles. I mean, Jim Tressel had one. Urban had one. I think part of being an Ohio State coach, I know you guys can attest to this, since John Cooper, how many teams Ohio State had could have won it? Seemed like 10.
Oh, John had one every year.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good ones that stick out, and their former players will tell you. Like Josh Perry will tell you, that 2015 team could have won it. The 95 and 96 teams, when you could run it, there was one team you could run a truck through Corey Stringer and Orlando Pace, the holes that they made. I mean, if he closes out two or three title runs in this format, I don't think there'll be any doubt about him.
Yeah, you said it, but then sometimes I'll think about it. You know, the worst thing that possibly could have happened was Michigan. But in some ways, as far as winning a national championship, maybe that was the best thing that ever happened, because it just knocked them down so far, they thought the whole world was against them. And they knew the mountain they had to climb, and they got there. That's what, you know, you talked about the wins against the top five teams. I think the fact that they were able to pick themselves back up after that loss and take advantage of what the new college football world looks like.
Yeah, and I think part of their legacy down the line is going to be how I felt about that. I mean, you go back and look at that 02 team with Tressel. How many NFL players are on that team? They're going to have a lot. The entire starting defense will play in the NFL. Won't be for all first-round guys, but they'll all play in the NFL. Will Howard will get a shot. You know, some of those offensive linemen, I mean, we're talking about 30, 35 guys, 40, wow, that might play in the NFL on that roster. It'll be one, you know how they do, and like, I can't believe I'm thinking of this movie, like the Ace Ventura, where he's circling the heads of the guys. In like 10 years, we're going to circle like 40 heads off this team. So, but they're not looking for Ray Finkel, but, you know, whatever.
Ask Notre Dame the laces are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Laces out. But this team will have that legacy, I think, with all those NFL guys and delivering the championship for Ryan Day and the first one in this format. And you know what? Notre Dame fought too. That could have been 45-7. I was impressed with how they fought back in the second half.
I was a little surprised that it seemed as if Ohio State, you know, kind of got conservative both offensively and defensively. Nonetheless, they won the game. They won the first 12-team playoff. Was the format a success, Bill, overall? Obviously some tinkering, but do you think this works moving forward for college football?
I do. I mean, struggle for me because I am a traditionalist, and you want to value the regular season as much as possible. You want it to be different than the NFL. But here's the justification for it. We got to tell Arizona State's story this year with Cam Scataboo. We got to tell Boise State's story as more than just, hey, man, Ashton Gentry's really good. We get to see it on the play. I do think the Big Ten set up for some time because they're coast to coast. They had, you know, from literally coast Oregon to coast Penn State, they had playoff teams in this thing. And they'll continue to do that. And you mentioned the tinkering. Yeah, we need to seed it properly. We probably need to cut a week off if we can. And I mean that in that the NFL playoffs are over in 5 weeks. college playoffs took seven weeks. I had buddies texting me that the lady from Titanic, that gif over and over and over again about how long this thing took. But it was fun. And I think we are going to expand it too. I'm feeling, you know, whether it's 14 or 16, we'll get more and maybe give those top seeds a home game. That's it.
I think you're right. I mean, I could see it going to 16 just because we've seen it work with the old 1AA. We've seen it work at Division II. We've seen it work at Division III. And eventually these teams are going to get better as this thing goes along. I just, you know, when you look back at this ride they were able to take, I go back and I look at some of the games throughout the season. And in some ways, the win against Indiana may have been one of the most important. And when you look at how Indiana went from, you know, a team that never is even 500, what, twice since 93, that win against Indiana, I think when they go back and look at the history of this season, how important that game was, especially after Oregon.
Oh, for sure. And you know, Kurt Cignetti was the Eddie Robinson FWAA Coach of the Year, so we rewarded that with him down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it was cool talking to him because he had a good insight on both teams. Because Ohio State beat them, Notre Dame beat them. And, you know, the thing he said with Ohio State, it was the hard part for them was figuring out how to cover the receivers. He's like, you got to – and everybody did. I mean, when you have Jeremiah and Emeka and Carnell, all three of those guys are playing on Sunday. All three of those guys are going to be on our fantasy teams, by the way, because they're going to put up big numbers. And
if we're lucky.
He was talking about mixing up coverage. Yeah, if you get at least one of them, you'll be fine. He was really thoughtful, and when you're coaching at Indiana, some people got mad about the things he said during the season. I was even a little like, really, this guy's saying Google me?
Yeah.
If you think about what he did, why he has to be like that in some ways, because you're bringing attention to a program that obviously did not have much success.
No, I think it's good. The other part about this for Notre Dame is, you know, you might say, okay, Notre Dame didn't win the national championship, but, man, they won when it came to cashing in checks, and I think about – you know, Notre Dame getting half and then Ohio State having to split with the rest of the conference on a lot of the money that they were able to bring in. And how much stronger this is going to make Notre Dame down the road. You know, it's, we've always talked about the TV contract being able to help them when the Big Ten schools are all splitting cash. But a year like this for Notre Dame, even with the, you know, a horrible loss in the beginning of the season, the cash they brought in by making it to the championship, that's a winning effort any way you can look at it.
Yeah, and you know, Marcus got asked the Ohio State question, oh, I don't know, 300 times. But the way that he's pushed this program forward easily could have been another, like, Notre Dame can't handle the big stage. Because, yeah, I was while I was waiting in the airport line, I was waiting with a couple women from South Bend. They were very nice. And they told me about going to the Alabama game when they played Notre Dame in 12. And one of the ladies was like, yeah, we left at halftime. So it was like at least they played a four-quarter game here, and I think Marcus is going to have them in the playoff every year, if not close to every year, especially this format. And you mentioned the money. I'm sure they'll put that to use for that program.
Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News. Riley Leonard, one-year guy at Notre Dame. Will Howard, one-year guy at Ohio State. You bring in the veteran quarterback for his last year. Was that a coincidence, or is that a trend in college football?
I think it's a trend if you have a good trend if you have a kid like Ohio State was able to get Julian Sain and let him watch. Because I watched that spring game last year, and you could see the talent in Julian Sain, but you could also see it's going to have to slow down for him a little bit. Granted, he was playing against Ohio State's defense, which was amazing. Good to have a year to develop. And Notre Dame was able to do the same with C.J. Carr, five-star quarterback who's going to fight for time with Steve Angeli. There's two ways to do it. You could do what Nebraska did and play a guy like Dylan Raiola right away. But I knew even with Raiola, for all the hype and all the Mahomes look-alike comparisons, I had said early in the season, there will be ups and downs with a young quarterback. I think Michigan will have the same next year if they end up signing or starting Bryce Underwood.
Sounds good. Bill, thank you. We appreciate the conversation. Great stuff. We're reading you all the time in the Sporting News. And who knows? Give us some more Pickerington guys down the road, and we'll be talking about more national championships. How's
thank
that
you,
sound?
Bill.
Yeah, if you recruit down here, you'll do all right. Thanks so much for having me on. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care. Bill Bender, Sporting News, senior writer for them. Nice enough to join us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And of course, Andy, don't forget, asking Baskin and Phelps helps.
Yes.
We're going for it tomorrow. Go to the Odyssey app. You can leave us a little message, and by golly, we'll use it. That's right. What we'll do, Andy.
Hey, I also want to do this. Let's talk about Larry Schmitz for just 2 seconds here. Do you know who Larry is? The 2024 Browns Fan of the Year.
I thought so.
Congratulations to Larry.
Way to go, Larry.
He was on with Ken Carman and Anthony Lima this morning about 9 o'clock. You can go back and listen to that at 92.3thefan.com and on the Odyssey app, or go to clevelandbrowns.com/fans, Fan of the Year. Hang on a second. Go to clevelandbrowns.com/fans/Fan of the Year. There's two slashes in there, so I get a little confused. And then you can vote now for Larry as the NFL's ultimate Fan of the Year. Now, voting ends in February, so let's help Larry by voting him in now, and you can continue to vote leading up to the final tally. Vote Larry.
Come on, Larry.
Vote Larry. Go online, clevelandbrowns.com/fans/Fan of the Year. So there you go. You got most of it. All right. I think Nick Wilson is mad at me. I'm going to be honest with you, Jeff.
Well, he can join the club, Andy.
Yeah. Oh, why? You're mad at me now, too?
Oh, no. Heavens, not me.
Okay. So there was a little There was a tiny misunderstanding yesterday, okay? And here's how things go down. Yesterday, you guys were all over me yesterday because I said Ohio State's story for this year could be made into a movie.
No, we weren't.
Dan, like, okay, it's maybe at the best. What'd you say at the best? It's a 30 for 30 or something like that? I don't know what he said. Something along those lines.
Right? Yeah, called it a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Or 30 for 30, whatever.
Dan and I were thinking highbrow. You're thinking, you know, yeah, just
so
just
I got to tell you.
Let me pull. Here's the Hallmark movie.
So my
pull
guard.
The heartstrings.
My guard was up already, right? So now I'm driving back from Columbus.
It,
and by the
it,
way.
It almost never is.
Well, let's stop. So I'm driving back from Columbus, right? And by the way, thank you again to the Fan down in Columbus. Outstanding, 97.1, beautiful place where they have their. And I appreciate them letting me do the show from there yesterday. My phone starts blowing up because afternoon drive, well, apparently Nick and Jonathan are ripping me left and right. And they're like, you're getting trashed on the air. You're getting this. You're getting that. And I'm like,
good job, Nick.
What are these guys doing? But unfortunately, and I should have been listening to the Odyssey app. Instead, I was on the phone for most of the trip on the way up. And
nice job. State of Ohio appreciates that.
On my speakerphone. Okay, is that okay
better,
with you?
Better.
Okay. Thank better. You. State Highway Patrolman Phelps. So, yeah, I mean, there's that hill that's before Mansfield. That's where our signal kind of comes back in if you're coming in from the south.
That's a big hill. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was right on the other side
to me,
of that.
That's always the, hey, I'm almost home.
And so now I'm trying to listen to the boys in the afternoon, and I'm hearing Baskin. And then I'm like, oh, they're ripping me. So I'm like, oh, I got to call in. And then, ta-da, I found out that they were saying things, but it may not be as bad as I thought it was. So Nick Wilson, I want to give him equal time. He's into work early. Congratulations on that. We give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. It feels good to be mildly professional.
Yes, mildly. So anyway, they were talking about, I had said that Ohio State should be a movie. Somehow along the way, that came into your show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I just want to say that I went to bat for you yesterday because he's not setting this up the right way.
No,
he came
and now
in,
I feel like I want to apologize.
He bashed you in the
like
program.
A, oh, like a him. Rabid tiger on my show. I just, oh, it's Andy Baskin on the hotline. Thank God that Andy Baskin's here so he can hear the loving endorsement that I gave him for the actor, right? My cohort gave him 87-year-old Dustin freaking Hoffman, all right? The man is barely living, and that's what Jonathan Peterlin thinks of you. Meanwhile, I'm thinking of, all right, who is a sensitive, sweethearted, slightly neurotic, but like just all, just get, makes you just feel good when you're around him.
Maybe
slightly.
Not neurotic enough.
Slightly.
I think maybe he needs to be a little bit more neurotic,
and
but that's
so,
okay.
So I go Gutenberg, all right? I dip into the archives and say it's time to reinvent Steve Gutenberg.
Who, by the way, helped people like crazy with the fires. In
right?
America.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a better glow-up, by the way?
But wait a second. He's 11 years older than me, but he's in better shape than I am right now, just so you know that. Yeah. Just for the record.
So okay, it's a glow-up. I gave you a glow-up.
Okay, so
and
understand.
Then you came on the show. Real quick. You came on the show.
I was nasty.
And you tore me down. And you sided with the guy who compared you to a geriatric.
Yes, I understand that. I understand. So, unfortunately, I may have compared them to two of the Simpsons characters. And
I came out worse than that.
So, you were
I felt pretty bad. Nah, it was. I thought they were slamming me because all my friends were telling me they were slamming me. Like I'll show
some
you later.
Friends.
Yeah, well, you're getting ripped. You're getting torn up on the air.
Nick's so from Woodridge, I came in defensive. Andy, Woodridge guys have your back.
Yeah,
always.
Well, maybe
always.
Not now.
Yeah, not now.
Yeah, not now. And by the way,
it's because of that beautiful scoreboard that can do track results.
BT Dubs, the Simpsons joke didn't land. Now I got to say it.
It didn't land for you.
No, it didn't land for the audience either.
That's not true. The audience came back. They're like
crickets.
No, you created the crickets.
I heard some.
Jeff heard it.
Now it's a lie. Now it's an absolute lie. Jeff, how often is 92.3 the Fan on in your car ever? Thank you.
Yeah, the man takes time away from work to live his life,
all right,
Andy.
He doesn't take time away.
I do this for 4 hours a day. God. When Nick has... I talk to Nick every day.
Yeah.
I know what's on Nick's mind. He knows what's on my... We're Woodridge guys,
if
Andy.
I threw up the bat Woodridge signal time? And gave him the Goody glow-up, the Gutenberg glow-up, as Woodridge it's known, time? If I had done... Woodridge, hi. If I do that for him...
That could not be any whiter.
If I... Give me time.
Oh, because yeah, that's
if I threw that up for Phelps,
cool.
He would drop whatever yogurt he was eating and call in immediately and be like, "I love the Goody glow up."
There it is.
That's what he would do.
There it is.
That's what Woodridge men do for each other.
That's right.
Not whatever Benedict Arnold nonsense you were playing and siding with the enemy. Okay,
well, I don't know why, but
somebody's saying something bad about me. I gotta call in and rip him.
That is not the way it went down.
That's exactly the way it went down. That is 150% the way it went down. You even admitted it now. You're trying to soften the blow.
Here's what I'm going to say. It's not a 1,000% apology. I'm going to be honest with you. I mildly felt bad because I heard what you said after I get off the air because I continued to listen because I had come over the hill and then I had picked up the signal. So I do want to apologize. I probably could find a better... I thought I did find a better actor for you to play you.
Who?
In the movie.
You said Barney from The Simpsons.
No,
the fat drunk.
I did. I did. Well, wait a minute. If he just laughed, the joke landed.
I think
Thank
he laughed because the way I described Barney, not because of your comp.
And Mr. Burns. And now I took Mr. Burns back right away because I didn't want to say it. And I was like, initially, this is what I was thinking. Could play you guys in a movie.
Go-getter?
Yes. Who is that young go-getter? I retreat on both of my...
All right.
Decisions.
So who was your comp for me? Was it Brendan Fraser in Whale? Because that's not better.
No, that is not true. And I did not say that.
Wow.
Is it the mom from What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Also not better.
Wow.
Because here's a problem. Here's a problem. I don't mind people casting fat people to play me.
I also didn't say late Marlon Brando either. Now, did I say that? No.
You notice he didn't say late skinny Marlon Brando. No, I don't mind people casting fat people for Nick Wilson in any kind of movie. I hate when it's short fat people. If you're going to give me anything, it please adhere to my height.
So who was your comp when it was all said and done?
I tried to get Shane Gillis across the goal line.
All right, I'll take that.
That makes sense.
I'll take it.
Yeah, Peterman wouldn't give it to me.
I
was like, if you can't even... He's a Chicago 6. If you can't give me Shane Gillis, what are we doing?
Fred Flintstone's not available, right?
That's a character. Yeah.
Who was he?
Woodridge men, by the way. Look it up.
Who did Peterman end up being?
I initially tried to get Joey Slotnick, but that was out of hate.
I meant for Andy, by the way.
Oh, for Andy?
Yeah. No, I was talking about... Yeah. Go ahead. You can do either one you want.
It was Will Poulter is who I tried to sell him on. The guy who played Adam Warlock in the latest Guardians of the Galaxy and who was the geeky kid in We're the Millers. Yeah.
Nice.
By the way, Jeff, do you know who Colin Robinson is?
No.
Okay, he's a character in What We Do in the Shadows. That was my submission for you. Same guy.
Nice.
See? That's the way you take it.
Will Poulter? To play Peter?
All right, I'm done with it. I'm not starting any more feuds.
How tall are you, by the way? 6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shane Gillis also 6'4".
You gave him a pretty good-looking guy as
Thank
a comp.
You.
Yeah.
And he would not accept.
And younger, like way younger.
I gave myself the worst casting of all of it, and I
Who
got
did,
nothing.
Did Phelps get one or no?
It is Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, sorry, I missed it. I got it.
Well, this is actually where I might have just started a feud. they look identical.
They do not look identical.
Dan, Can I get an assist? Do they look identical?
I don't like getting in between any fights between those two because I don't want to show favoritism.
Jeff's Googling it. I'm done. I'm out.
You probably should run pretty fast. Although he's got the one.
What I'm known for.
Not here to
from
show
the
favoritism.
Shadows. Did Menegan get anybody? Did he get a comp or no? You're going to walk away from that.
Oh, no. I'm subservient. We don't do these things.
All right. So I just Googled Colin Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Every white guy losing his hair who wears glasses to read looks the same. So there.
Did you hand me that pole, the 10-footer over there? We'll stay away from this one.
It's a good move.
It's probably the right way to handle it. Especially if we're going to spend another 13 years doing this. Oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm just done with it. Anyway, thank you. Make sure you're listening to Afternoon Drive. And I got a little defensive yesterday because of the nature of the text that I was getting.
Andy got defensive?
Oh, he called me throwing 110 on top of it. I actually calmed him down a smidge.
That might be true.
Yeah.
Or to make sure that I had the right number to call in.
He called me throwing 110, and I was like, okay, let's get him the hotline number.
I wasn't mad. Like, when we first started the show, I used to get upset. I used to get mad. I'm like, what are they doing talking about us? What do we care? I don't care. I don't care. And then I would get really mad, and then I would start to care.
Huh.
It was bad. Mm-hmm. It was like social media. It's like the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life as far as social media is concerned is mute. Like the greatest thing ever. I have no idea what half the people are saying to me, especially the angry ones.
Always remember, social media is like the window in your kitchen. It's nice to have the outside world, but once you're done with it, shut the window.
Yeah. All right. Let's shut the window on this
also,
whole conversation.
Also, a little bit of news. The Bucks-Pelicans game has been postponed because of all the snow and ice down in New Orleans.
So. Adjust fantasy basketball lineups accordingly.
Yeah.
Let's come back. I want to talk about CC Sabathia. We are also going to try to find ourselves a quarterback, Chris Rose. All of those things are straight ahead right here on Baskin and Phelps. It goes to Chris Rose. He's a super friend of the show. You know him and love him from pretty much every aspect of media across the great land. And I always appreciate his work, especially when he is on the Cleveland Browns television network during the preseason. He is Chris Rose, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's not forget Rose Rotation as well. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How is your family? How is your neighborhood? Let's start there.
Everything okay?
Yep.
Yeah, everything's good. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So, a lot better. Air quality's good today, which is nice. So I can walk outside. It's been not great, but we're trying.
All right. Just want to make sure you're safe and your family's safe.
Thank you.
How was your neighborhood? Any damage in your neighborhood or no?
No. Not where we live. We're flat, comparatively speaking. We're not in mountains and things of that nature. So we're good right now and just trying to stay out of harm's way moving forward.
There you go.
That is good news, and we're glad for you there. Let's go Hall of Fame. CC Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, Billy Wagner. I'd say three very deserving people going into the Hall of Fame. What do you think?
Yeah. Why not? Really happy for CC. Obviously, having to know him pretty well over the last couple decades, and it's just great. That is great. I wish he was wearing Cleveland cap instead of New York. Yeah, but I get it. I understand. He still talks very fondly, obviously, of his time in Cleveland and how much it meant to him. Just to kind of formulate who he is as a person and a competitor and all of that, and how much Carl, I love him, hearing him talk about the importance of Carl Willis to his career. So that's all great stuff. Ichiro, one of a kind, although statistically not much different than Kenny Lofton, who fell off the ballot after 1 year, which has always been a head-scratcher. That's not to diminish Ichiro, but I certainly wish that we could raise up Kenny Lofton, and maybe this helps him somewhere down the line. And I thought Billy Wagner should have been in a long time ago. He's only the ninth closer to get in, and yes, he pitched fewer than 1,000 innings, which I think will end up being the fewest of any Hall of Famer. You can't fault him because the game changed during his career. But his numbers metrically are even more impressive than at least half of the closers who got in before him. So, really good class. Dave Parker and Dick Allen, too. I think that'll be a great, great time in Cooperstown this summer.
Where do you think we are on the way people, or I'm sorry, just the Baseball Writers Association, where it doesn't really matter what people think, on PEDs and some of these guys getting in at some point?
Well, there's been, you know, a groundswell of younger voters in recent years, which I think is great. You know, they see the game through a different lens. I think it's really important. I think there's more big hall voters working the ballot these days than small hall voters. I'm a big hall guy. I've also, you know, covered the sport. I don't have a vote, just to be very clear. I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers of America. But I, on my fictitious ballot, I always pretty much filled it up, you know, with 10 guys when I would fill out my own form. And I think for the longest time, people weren't. They wouldn't. I like a big haul. I like celebrating the game. I've seen years where nobody got in. That sucks.
Yeah,
that's bad for the sport.
That's the year I visited Cooperstown, by the way.
good job by you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, whatever, people can have their own feelings on the PED era and things of that nature. I know that there's some voters who didn't vote for Carlos Beltran in his first year of eligibility as a punishment based on the 2017 Astros scandal. I thought that was a little off base. I think it's up to the sport to punish people, not writers. Like, if you're going to vote for him in year two but not year one, to me that seems silly. Either vote for him or you don't vote for him.
Yes.
If you really want to punish him, then you punish him. Then you leave him off the ballot. But if you don't, and I'm going to punish you by keeping you off your first year but not the second. I think that's kind of childish. I heard a few of those yesterday.
I wonder if it, you know, if it changes in the next 5 to 10 years. You know, guys like Barry Bonds and Clemens and A-Rod and Manny, because clearly Hall of Fame talent and clearly did something that was frowned upon at the time. I don't know if it's frowned upon as much now, Chris. You know, just in time changes things. And I find it preposterous that those guys aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Well, let's start with this. Bonds and Clemens are no longer on the ballot, so the only way they get in is through these senior committees. And I think they'll have a much more difficult time getting in that way than through the original writer's ballot.
I'll bet you're right.
I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think it's going to happen for Manny or A-Rod, or particularly those two, because those guys actually failed tests and or were suspended by Major League Baseball, as opposed to Bonds and Clemens, who did neither in terms of once tests were implemented through the collective bargaining agreement, if that all makes sense. I know that for some people it's semantics, and I get that. I understand it. I always put Bonds and Clemens on, once again, my little fictitious ballot.
Chris, I'm going to throw one more name at you, too, for Cooperstown. And Tom Hamilton got the Ford C. Frick Award for broadcast.
Yep.
So he'll be a part of that weekend too. And you know,
great.
We grew up with him or grew older with him. I'm not going to say grew up because he's not that far away in age. And it's just like, you know, when you have the opportunity, because I mean, you've worked with so many guys along the way, and just to understand how special the announcing is or the play-by-play guys in this town have been, especially, and for Hammy to get that award, I think is super special, well deserved. And, you know, I think for Indians fans, you can feel a piece of that when he goes in as well for the Ford C. Frick Award.
Absolutely. We haven't always had the greatest teams, particularly guys when, you know, we were growing up in that area. It was a battle sometimes to watch our teams, particularly the Indians, do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, we have been blessed with some incredible play-by-play people. You know, for me, growing up, Nev Chandler for the Browns, you know, and then...
And Indians from Nev.
Yeah. And Indians, yeah. And then Joe Tate with the Cavs. I mean, I thought that there was nobody better. He was simply out of this world great.
And he was great on the Indians, too, mm-hmm. when he was doing Indians. Yep. You know, amazing. Yeah, you're right. Keep going. Sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, Tom is fantastic. He's one of those guys that everybody knows, and they'll seek out his calls on social media. Like the Jonkenzie Noel home run against the Yankees, people were couldn't wait until somebody put Tom's voice to the pictures so that you could hear and see what it looked and sounded like together. So it's amazing. You know, he's going to have a fantastic weekend, and I know he's been very emotional about it, and it's going to be emotional for us as Cleveland fans. It's great.
Down goes Anderson. He had so many great calls, but that it just, I don't know, maybe it's because of one of the great ones that was just recent.
Okay, so you go to spring training, and you have a position battle at second base. Give me your leader in the your leader as we go into that thing. And then does first base feel just fine for you with Carlos Santana? And how does Kyle Manzardo fit in there?
Well, I mean, Santana just won a Gold Glove.
He's pushing 40. But sometimes the bottom has to fall out of that.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that it's not like he's covering a ton of ground at first base. I mean, that's not what they do. If you still have good hands and the ability to help out your fielders, then you'll be in good shape over there. So I would expect Carlos to play, you know, at least 120 games over there, right? Wouldn't you think? As long as he stays healthy, which is something that he's done throughout his career. Second base, you know, I will say this. I don't think Arias is done. Now, I've always loved Arias as a fielder. I think he has a chance to be elite. Like, his arm is Correa type. You know, I've seen a ton of social media clips on what he's done in a winter ball, hitting the ball. I think this would be his last crack at something decent with this team, but I think they have to give him a shot. And I don't see him as a second baseman. I just think he's too good on the other side of the infield. Now, Rocchio was fantastic during the year defensively and was kind of a big swing and a miss, literally, at the plate. And then when we got to October, it totally flipped on us.
Sure did.
So hopefully he has figured it out. He's still really young. I think it'll be interesting for that. Now, Brito, I think, is probably a guy that gets a really good crack at this at second base. The minute we traded Jimenez, that's what I figured, was that he would be the first guy in line. And I'll be curious when I talk to Stephen Vogt about it before he goes down to camp, try and get a few minutes in there with the skipper.
I want to flip over to the NFL before we run out of time here, too. Just your thoughts on these games coming up. Eagles, Commanders. Let's start with that. What are Chris Rose's thoughts on that game?
God, I hope that Jaden Daniels can stick in this one. I really do. It's been impressive what he's done in Tampa and Detroit. I don't see the Commanders getting five turnovers from the Eagles the way that they did Detroit. But I think, you know, Jalen Hurts is competing today in a walkthrough. They dialed back practice today because they wanted him to be out there, and it sounds like he can't handle a practice yet. So to me, that's the biggest storyline. If he plays, which I expect him to, but if he's limited, then that really changes what we look at. I mean, how'd the Eagles get on the board first last week? It was a 44-yard touchdown run from Jalen Hurts. If he doesn't have that available in his bag, it really changes the way that you can play Saquon and the rest of that Eagles team. Because I still think the Commanders will be able to move the ball, even though the Eagles defense has been arguably the best in football all year long. As far as the other game.
Yep.
Buffalo can go in there and win. Going to be a one-score game because that's what it feels like all Kansas City plays. I know last week finished, I guess, 11 or 9 or whatever it was. But it always feels like they play a one-score game when it matters most. I think that's what it's going to be. I think that Josh Allen's going to have to play better than he did last week against the Ravens, which was super clean, but I think he's going to have to be more Superman. And I think both home teams win. But, man, I wouldn't mind it if both road teams won. I think that'd be a fun Super Bowl to cover.
It would be.
I think you're right.
I think you're 100% right. Yeah. All right, Chris, we always enjoy the conversation, especially when we agree on stuff. I mean, how much fun is that? That's awesome.
Yeah. No fun.
Sorry, guys. And enjoy the Cavs game in Houston tonight. I think that'll be a good one.
As long as everybody gets there on time, we'll be okay. We only had one NBA game canceled so far today. So there were some beat writers having trouble getting into Houston today. So let's see. At least the game will get covered. We'll see it on TV. Chris, thank you.
Somehow they'll still manage to play the game without the beat writers. I don't know how, but they'll figure it out.
Somehow, some way. You're correct. Goodbye, Chris.
See you, buddy.
Bye, gang.
See you.